scared. You're talking to a man who's laughed at death, sneered at danger, and chuckled at catastrophe. I was terrified.
I have no idea who this could be. So yeah, let everyone know who this person is.
This is Professor Marvel, aka the Wizard of Oz.
Now, is this the Judy Garland Wizard of Oz, or
is... Yes, it actually is. It actually is, but there's a whole, he's got a whole story going on, because The Wizard of Oz was a series of books back in the day in like the 30s. And so this is kind of a cheat, Rob, because he doesn't really have powers, as we all know.
I was like, he doesn't have powers. Why are you featuring him? What's going on?
But he is still known as a great and powerful wizard due to his magic tricks and props. So he's a wizard slash witch in theory. People believe him to be. And I feel like, why not? He became the supreme ruler of the Kingdom of Oz and a myth.
Okay. Soon I'm going to be like, okay, so next week I'll just do the wizard from the Fred Savage movie because he's such a gamer.
And he gets
And he gets the nickname Wizard. And yeah, he's a wizard because they called him that. Okay, no, that's fine. Wizard of Oz, we will go with that. He has magic tricks. Very good. Awesome.
And the land that he's in does really have magic. So I feel like it's not a stretch to believe that this dude, this big head, big green head behind the curtain is something.
No, that's totally fair. Welcome everyone to Brunch with the Hollowells. We are almost done with season 6. We're on episode 18. Crazy. All right. We are going to do Spin City. And joining me is Ryan, who just gave us our quote. Thank you for coming back to help with this recap.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Rob.
Of course. Yes. Season 6, episode 18, Spin City. This original air date is April 18th, 2004. Written by Andy Reeser and Doug E. Jones and directed by Mel Damsky. Guest stars include Jodie Lynn O'Keefe as our Spider Demon, Christopher Neiman as Sigmund back again, as well as Gildart Jackson as Gideon. We also welcome a plethora of Phoebe's dates. We have Dennis Hamilton Van Watts, Kieran Hutchinson as Mitch, and then a very funny role of the transformed male nymph is played by Scott Adsit with special musical guest Andy Stochansky. So this episode originally scored 3.9 million viewers. And I will go first.
Okay.
A demon attacks Paige, Piper, and Chris in a parking lot. The three fight her off, and she transforms into a spider as she flees. Chris is scratched and worried both for himself and for his younger self in Piper's womb. Back at the manor, Paige finds the demon in the Book of Shadows. The entry reads, "An evil creature that emerges from its hidden lair every 100 years to capture and feed on the most powerful magical being it can detect. This demon can only be vanquished by a potion blessed by the power of three." The spider demon in her lair meets an old man cocooned in silk. She has been feeding on him and he begs for mercy. He notes that she has returned empty-handed, but she says that she has infected Chris and she finishes the man off. I love that they just have this total casual discussion before I die. And he's just like,
he was really chill, that wizard.
He was like, nice talking to you, and then die. Okay, so a few things with this scene. What wasn't highlighted in the synopsis is that we start the episode off where Chris is at P3 and he's playing with some tarot cards and he picks the judgment card from the deck, when Dennis, an employee at P3, walks in and sets up. And he asks about Leo and his shadiness getting somebody pregnant and then bailing. I don't know why he knows all of this business, but maybe she's just a chatterbox at work. For him,
she forces all those men to hear, listen to her bartenders, listen to her talk.
For him to know all about Leo just not being there is a little weird, but it's kind of hinted that she maybe is protective of him, of her as a boss, or maybe she's interested in him, or he's interested in her. I don't know. But yeah, that was a very weird scene.
Rob, this is just another man interested in Piper. This woman can't go one episode without a random man off the street or working for her talking about how beautiful and amazing she is, even dating back to the Papa Demon from a few episodes ago.
Yeah. What also wasn't discussed was Piper, who continuously is freezing people because she's tired of people feeling her stomach because she's expecting. She went through this during her first pregnancy, but she's over it. She's freezing people in the hospitals and you know, so I found that to be funny. But this whole attack in the garage, Miss Jodie Lynn Keefe, God bless her. I love her. She's been in all 90s movies and TV shows, and I was so glad to see her in this. I'm sure she's super close to one, if not all, the stars. On Charmed, it made sense that she was here. Loved her. She looked great. Very good. Also, as they are attending to Chris's wound, there is discussion about him not having a force field while in the womb, and Chris is very shocked and surprised that Wyatt had powers even before he was born, and he says that he has an inferiority complex with his brother. I found this to be completely understandable, but I wanted to ask you, Ryan, did you feel that way with your two other brothers at all for any reason?
You know, no, because none of us really are competitive really in any way. Honestly, so no, and that doesn't mean in a bad way that, you know, I didn't find nice qualities in them that I wanted to, like, you know, emulate, but no competitiveness, thankfully.
Very good. I mean, that also means that your parents didn't compare you in front of your faces or anything, and why can't you be more like your brother or something like that, you know? That's good. Also, I just want to point out that these witches have been doing this, and they have been scratched and changed and transformed by the littlest prick. And this man gets three deep scratches on his neck, and they never once consider the possibility of him changing. What the hell is going on with this family? Like, I don't get it.
Remember when Paige was scraped from the bats or bit up from the bats?
Yeah.
Even then, come on. Yes, yeah. Rob, yes.
It's so weird.
They were deep wounds, too.
He's starting to get sick, and they even mention it, like, do you think it's the wound? And they're like, no, it's just, you know, someone.
Of course not. Of course not.
It's so crazy. I would have had that thing checked. And here's what's also
it would have been
funny.
Healed.
Here's what's also funny. It wasn't even in the Book of Shadows. There was not one thing about this spider demon saying, if she scratches you, you're going to change. Why wasn't this in the book?
Right. It's one of those things that I hope now the sisters added in on the bottom, like a little. But yeah, I guess it's more realistic this way that they don't know everything. What do you think, Rob, about this being another thing that involves the power of three? Like, this demon, too. Like, what are these other witches doing? Like, what would Grams and Patty do if they came across this? I mean, luckily, it didn't happen in their generation.
Yeah.
But what are they going to do? It's a power of three spell. Ooh.
Well, I mean, that entry must have been passed down to somebody who had sort of, like, learned about them some other way, or maybe it was done by experience. That's a really good question. But, yeah, they know how to destroy it, but they don't know that it changes, yeah. But who knows what they did beforehand, since they didn't have the power of three, so.
They just were like, yes, please, feed on that wizard for 1,000 years. Until the power of three comes along.
I also thought that this spider demon had a clan of her own, just like the vamps did. Like the vampire queen. I always thought she had minions of spiders, but so she's a lone wolf in this one. I don't remember that. I thought she had like people who also became spiders because it was so easily infecting Chris. So I thought she had so many others, but I guess this wasn't. Maybe I just had the vampire queen in my head the whole time.
Or thinking of Chris, maybe thinking that they had, yeah, maybe just remembering that, yeah, there was other people that like her. So
yeah,
there might have been little ones. But yeah, I agree. I thought I saw little spiders too, unless it was that episode with the fears of Piper who had all those spiders. But I agree. So I do love this old wizard, Rob. He kind of was just like you said, you know, and soon I will have my last breath and the power three is coming for you. I heard about them, and I loved that.
He reminds me of the gentleman who was in the fairy tale chamber, like the keeper of the, you know, before he died. It seemed like it was the same guy, but I'm sure it was a different person.
But this is a horrific way of slowly being sucked upon for over 1,000 years, and then you become a skeleton in a cocoon. Ooh, something creepy about that.
Yeah.
I love two things about Paige. Actually, I gotta say, Paige in this whole episode is, again, continuing her stepping it up. I love that she caught the woman early on where Piper was freezing her, like you said, just didn't care anymore. Mm-hmm. And then when she unfroze them, when they're going into the elevator, she just catches her. Thankfully, thank you, Paige. We see that Paige's green beetle is in the parking garage. So I like that her sister's driving her to her appointments. She does say, "Is no wonder why Chris is such a neurotic freak." I like this quote that she says. I don't remember what it was in. Oh, I think they were talking. He was worried about her being healthy, and also the penis. Like, you see that little thing right there in the picture?
The
that was around there. And I just love that whole scene in the elevator.
Yeah, Chris couldn't find it either. He was like, wait, where is it actually?
He did that really good.
Yeah, no, that was fun.
So Chris notices that his hands are sticking to things.
Why? There was a clue right there. You're changing. But nope, let's keep it a secret. I don't want to tell nobody.
Do these things happen like that, Rob, because they're in one way they're becoming the being, so they don't want to be discovered? It's like the person who's bit by the vampire and's like, he bit me, but I need to protect him.
That's an easy way of putting it. I mean, for the sake of drama and on TV, I totally get it, but you can pull that stuff off in like season 2 or 3. Season 6, you have to come with better ideas for them to change. I mean, either they change instantly or don't do this kind of shit, because that is a clear clue that you're changing into the spider. It's just weird. It's just weird.
Unless he was doing something right before that involved. I had to. It's so easy, but I had to. Phoebe is at lunch with a man named Mitch, and Chris calls her away. Chris snatches a fly from the air, but he doesn't eat it.
He just knows he can do it.
Again, ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
We got a spider on our hands. A man in green meets Paige at P3, which is not open yet. So I love that P3 always is opened. The door is always opened before hours, whatever the word you would call it. Always.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dan was coming in there. Everybody was coming in P3. He claims to be a leprechaun that has turned human by a wicked witch, and that he can no longer bestow luck. Paige says a quick spell. Paige with her leprechauns, love it. You found me in this bar, turn back to who you are. And the leprechaun returns to his normal diminutive height. He says his name is Riley and gives Paige his shillelagh. So is this the second shillelagh that they have now?
Oh, they had a first one? I didn't know they kept the first one.
Shame. I feel like Seamus gave the shillelagh to her, or she kept it after he died. Maybe I'm thinking of this shillelagh.
Possible.
Chris is feeling ill and his eyes are dilated. He looked worse. They were worse than dilated. They were demonized coming.
They were diobated.
Diobated. As the sisters prepare to bless a vanquishing potion, the spider demon appears, wrapping Piper in a cocoon that looks really cool and sticking her to the wall. As Paige throws the potion, Chris turns on her and Phoebe. The demon turns into a spider and flees.
Yeah, Piper probably had, like, an appointment somewhere. She had somewhere to be, handling some stuff. I don't know what it was, but she just disappears after this. Like, we no longer see her.
Well, I mean, okay, so Holly must be really, like, I guess relatively pregnant at this point, but I do love, you're right, Rob, there's a switch. Earlier on, we don't see any of Phoebe, and then halfway through, she takes over, mm-hmm. and you see her. So it's kind of like they gave Alyssa off earlier on because she was going to pick up the rest of it, and Rose just was in every scene, which, Paige, hey. They mentioned earlier that Wyatt had powers in the womb, because mm-hmm. this is before he turns into a demon.
Yeah.
It makes sense, right? Knowing how strong Wyatt is. But I love that this is the first time that Chris is actually hearing about this. Wouldn't this been of something in his, whatever, how old he is, 18 years, that, like Wyatt had a force field in the womb like that? You remember when Wyatt had his old force field?
I doubt that Piper is talking about any of this to his tour kids. And let alone the brothers, comparing notes or whatever. I would understand if this is the first time Chris heard this.
So this, I do love that how Chris Fuller is playing this now. Like, now it's all in the open.
Just wait a minute. Say that again. You said Chris Fuller.
Oh, I love how Drew Fuller is playing this now, right? Everything's out in the open. And now he can just kind of complain about Wyatt. He has this complex already. And then later on, Leo. So also, Rob, it has been 6 months since Leo left.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. 6 months they've been gone. That's the biggest, time frame.
This whole time, were they just kind of relaxing with
I'm sure they had a demon or two kind of come in. But yeah, 6 months of just chilling.
The other two notes I do have here is the leprechaun. I love that he didn't want to bother Paige at home. This is not something we see with a lot of the other magic communities. Usually they'll just show up and come right in. So got to give it to Riley. He had some manners. He didn't want to bother her at her house.
He's a sweetheart. So he was in an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? Our only themed leprechaun-based episode told by Eric in the first season, Tale of Jake and the Leprechaun. He was the person who helped him defeat the changeling in the play. So with Phoebe meeting up with these gentlemen, so you find out that you're going to get pregnant. She does the math because she feels that she's going to fall in love before getting pregnant. And you can't predict stuff like that. And she also said it's going to take a year for that to happen. Before she gets pregnant, then she's going to do the whole 9 months thing. So she feels that she's going to get pregnant around this time. But also, she feels that because she saw the future, that the only way she's going to get pregnant is to force it. Now, if you're showing up to dates and you don't even remember their names, why would I want to impregnate you?
Oh my God, that is the worst.
I thought she was so rude on this date. Like, I don't know what you're... She's already like, don't you just want a family and skip all of this dating stuff? Like, does she really look at him and be like, oh, you're the father of my child? Like, you might as well just get inseminated if it's that serious. You know, who's to say it's going to be out of love that you have this baby? It's just weird. You didn't see a husband in your future. So it's just like, you don't know where you're getting this baby. Why are you forcing it? But like, it was just the way she was going about these dates just seemed so off. I didn't like it. And I thought Mitch was cute too. So too bad that didn't work out.
I honestly, Rob, I swear he looks like the guy at the end of the episode. Like, I swear.
They all look the same.
In the distance, I'm like, did they just use that same guy and say he was somebody else, save some money on the WB? But yeah, this is terrible. It's hard enough dating Rob, and then you're going on a date with Ask Phoebe, and she don't remember your name. She's late, and she just wants to jump in and have children.
I would have went on Yelp. I would have went on Yelp and been like, "This girl don't know shit about dating. Don't listen to her.
Don't ask Phoebe."
I went on a date with her, and she was terrible. She's got somebody else writing that column. She doesn't practice what she preaches. Yelp.
I heard it. Oh my god. I heard it's a man.
So we get our famous charmed gif line. This family needs a shrink. The famous line.
God, yes.
And it's funny, too, because even in the video that you showed me.
Yes.
They point out that line. Everybody knows that line where she says, "My family needs a shrink." So
did you remember it was this episode? I knew it was this season, but.
Nope, not a clue. Not a clue. I had no idea it was in this. So that was fun to listen to. Also, during the spider demon scuffle that they have, Paige tries to throw a potion bottle at she tries to throw a potion bottle at the spider demon. So when she throws it, the potion is blue, but when it goes to Paige's hand, it turns orange, and then Paige tries to throw it again and it's blue. So the potion color changed throughout this entire scene.
I did not notice that. Good eyes. You always point out these things.
Well, to be fair, I did read about it and then decided to look for it to see if it was actually true, and it was. Like, the bottle potion color definitely changed. So if you guys rewatch this, look for that. It's very clear. I don't know how they mixed that up, but I would have fired that continuity bitch, whoever's on set.
The potion does a magical transformation right before being thrown, Rob. That's how you explain that.
There you go. Paige calls for Leo, who recognizes the work of the spider demon and assures the sisters that Piper is safe for now. Okay, so there is not one elder up there that is as zen and chill as him. They always make Leo this like calm, collected, zenful person every time he puts on that robe and plays that whole elder bit. I'm like, you can cut the bullshit. Every single other elder is always stressed out and they just don't want to deal with anything.
But
I don't
why they don't do anything.
He is always so zen, and I don't know why. Maybe he's just calm and just in a good mood, but you can tell he's trying to play on this whole like 180 role where he's not himself. Like, he can be himself. I get it. You're an elder, but you don't have to act like this. It's just funny. He's like, "Should we meditate?" I'm like, y'all ain't meditating up there. You are the only one who plays this role. It's just so funny. Chris is locked in the basement and Leo tries to talk to him, but Chris attacks with spider silk and Leo orbs away in time. And then Phoebe admits to Leo that Chris is his son. Which is difficult for Leo to accept. Now, do you feel that it was right for Phoebe to admit this without Piper's consent? I guess him knowing that they're related maybe helps him try and get Chris to calm down. But
yeah,
we find out later in the episode that Leo didn't really do anything.
I think they just realized that they had a crunch for time and they need to pass this shit along. Honestly, I really do.
But Phoebe admits it. She's like, "I can't keep a secret. This is something I can't hold to
myself."
Thank
you. Yes.
Let it out. That's the Phoebe that I know.
Yes.
Leo says that the last victim of the spider demon was a wizard and that there might be something helpful at magic school. The spider demon calls telepathically to Chris and demands the cocoon of Piper, but Chris tries to resist her and her call, but is having a very hard time. I will say that the spider web telepathic conduit window thing was actually pretty cool. I do like that. I thought that was nice.
I agree. I like that visual idea as well. And Rob, you know how I'm always complaining a bit about the CGI? I approve of the spider today. I think this might have been one of the best. It might could have been the smallest, but it looks the best out of all the CGI creatures, I feel like, up until now.
The spider actually looked cool. I dug it. I didn't mind it at all. So yeah, I would agree with that.
Paige meets three more magical beings that have been turned human. A nymph who has been turned into a balding man. A fairy who has been turned into an old woman. And an orc who is a shortish man. A shortish man.
You know what's funny? In the wiki page, they cast this shortest man as the wimpy one. And I was like, really?
This is such a 2000s
I know. Casting call. It's so horrible. So horrible. But yes, the shortest man. I would go with that.
We see this wicked witch, a crackling stereotype, straight out of the Wizard of Oz, stirring a cauldron. And Rob, in my defense, I did think this was the perfect tie, having the wizard earlier.
I figured this
one. And then this woman. So see? Fred Savage. She disappears in a flash of light as Paige casts a spell, and the three beings return to normal form at magic's. Oh, Rob, yes. So can we talk about this nymph? She said it was the spell, but this guy was the nastiest. Like, when we met the nymphs, I feel like they had, I hate to say it, nothing going on but wind blowing up there. Kind of. And because they're blowing with the wind themselves. And this one was like, I know everything. I'm bossing you around. And I am a tough man.
Well, it's the clear characteristics of a man versus a woman. And that if a nymph is a dude, it would be as aggressive and as complaining as we see in this one. But I mean, definitely also for jokes, but this is what men are like in the charm verse. They're just obnoxious, like angry.
Also the balding man.
Yeah.
As someone who's balding himself, I don't appreciate that.
I do enjoy the fact that the Wicked Witch could actually sense that she's being destroyed. I mean that's some very witchy vibes right there for sure. I just think it's cool. Like, she recognizes when, like, oh fuck me, somebody just is about to kill me.
That was great. Yeah. It was, and you're right. It to me reminded me of a witch from like a video game, like, I don't know, Zelda, Ocarina of Time, or like Banjo Kazooie or something. Yeah, like,
I'm thinking Banjo Kazooie for me.
She's stirring that pot up and then, oh my god, yeah, that was a great thing. But I swear they probably debunked there ever being a Wicked Witch at one point in Charmed, probably previously. But it's a cute thing. It's a cute throwaway thing. And the fact, yes, that she could sense, like, uh-oh, was cute.
Yeah.
At magic school, Sigmund tells Leo of Rathamir, a wizard of unknown age and uncertain origins. Did I say that right?
It's Rathamir. You added the A in there. Rathamir.
Of course, Rathamir.
You know, Shakespeare in love.
You know, the movie with the Shakespeare and the love? Rathamir once possessed vast magical powers. He's credited with more than 500 original spells and potions that would be a force to rival any other. If not for his mysterious disappearance in 1904, all that remains as evidence of his existence, oh Lord, yeah, are the wand and his legacy of magic. I do love this, actually, this whole thing about him creating all these potions and everything, Rob. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And Gideon scolds Leo, his boy, for abandoning the elders. Also, Leo tells Gideon he is trying to save his son, not Wyatt, but Chris. So now Gideon's doing the math in his head and realizes that, oh, you were an elder and you were having sex, Leo. Uh-huh, on the elder payroll.
Gideon is so surprised with this. He's like, what? What is going on? But I wonder if he was like, do I have to destroy this one too?
Of course, this man. God. Yeah, he just annoys me, Rob.
Yeah.
Gideon is clearly surprised. And yes, like Rob said, highly offended that this is a thing. When Leo departs, It reaffirms his determination to do away with Wyatt for the greater good. Yay for Sigmund again.
Yeah, I love seeing Sigmund. Chris turns into a spider and slips out of the basement. Phoebe channels his anger and vocalizes his feelings. After leaving spider form, Chris, with Silk, binds the hands of Phoebe, Paige, and Leo and orbs away with Piper. Paige remembers the shillelagh and orbs it, calling Riley. Riley grants Paige some luck, unclear whether it is good or bad, given that she crashes to the ground and her hands slip free. So you can actually tell that Paige is standing on two rods. I saw that. Yeah. But still a great effect. The spider demon begins to feed on Piper's magic, and Chris collapses in pain. The spider demon tells him that she's feeding on his magic too, through Piper's baby.
Ooh.
So I just want to say with this scene that Chris looks great with spider teeth. I just think he looks sexy as hell, just the way he was demoned up.
Would you have wanted him cast in the Twilight series back in the day? He would have fit right in there as a vampire, right? Or one of the wolves?
Yeah.
Oh, no, maybe he's not Jacob enough for them, probably. But yeah, the vampires.
Yeah, no, he looked great. I thought he looked good.
Rob, the spider demon feeding on Piper this whole time and her baby. And looks like she was really going for it. It's not like she stops like, because she digs her nails into the side. Ooh, this whole process is disturbing on so many levels.
I wish there was a permanent side effect to this, because that would have been really cool to see how they work that out, seeing that some of her powers are drained.
Ooh, lowering. Oh, wow. Yeah. Maybe it would explain why Chris. Ooh, no, it really sucked Chris's power and it would rem. Yeah. Ooh, something like that.
Yeah.
Leo scries for Piper as Paige walks in with the nymph, the fairy, and the org. The org pounds on the door to the spider demon's lair, annoying her. She comes out and the fairy flits in her face. I was going to say, I know she ain't flirting. The nymph throws a potion, which I love this nymph throwing the potion like she's a charmed one. And she turns into a spider and tries to escape, but the org steps on her. Leo frees Piper from her cocoon and orbs her away as Chris approaches. He seals the spider demon's door with silk and entangles Leo in a web. Leo fuels Chris's anger by mocking questions about why he hates him. And Chris snaps and begins to viciously beat his father. He makes no effort to fight back. Outside, Piper takes an antidote for the spider demon's venom, protecting both baby and adult Chris. Immediately, Chris reverts to normal, but continues to beat Leo until Piper enters and pull him off. Ooh, the sound of the punches, Rob. That was like he was hitting, I can't even tell you. I don't think Leo would have had a face after this.
Yeah, he gets a little bit of a bloody bruise, but other than that, he just seemed unscathed. But yeah, he was definitely kicking the crap out of him. He was super pissed.
Do you think this is these daddy issues spilled out now because everything is opened with Piper and the sisters that they know he's the future son? Because yes, he had issues with Leo this whole time, but it seems like either A, again, the writers are just scrambling to fill these like, throw these daddy issues in now too, like at the last minute. More so, or is it because he's had time to think about it? Is it because he was infected by the demon and he's doing it anyway? But it sounded like earlier, like he was like, no, we don't need him. You know, he's doing that. So
there's definitely a heavy shift change, right? Like he's allowed to deal with the emotions that he's been bottling up by keeping the secret of his parents. You know, he could have easily been so torn apart working with Piper this whole time, knowing that she dies when he's 14. But because he never really had to talk about it, he never had a reason to really deal with those feelings. So mm-hmm. now that the secret's out, I think this is an appropriate time for him to be channeling those feelings and dealing with them.
Right.
It is becoming more apparent, but it's just like, how are you not dealing with this earlier? That's the only thing that I can think of, is that he completely blocked it out and stayed to his mission while he was dealing with keeping this secret. But yeah, since day one, you know, flinging him over to Valhalla because he's pissed. He doesn't like him. He thinks he's garbage. And, you know, now he's just dealing with it because everybody knows, you know, what's going on. So to me, I guess it makes sense, but I don't think the transition is the best way that they could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
I actually forgot that this whole spider demon vanquishing was so anticlimactic. I expected a bigger fight scene with her. She kind of just comes out, a fairy, you know, gets in her eye view, and then the ogre steps on her. And I don't know. I just thought there was more to this. So it was sad to see O'Keefe go in such an easy death and just finish it. There was no big, like, battle. But I guess the whole point was the whole Chris and Leo thing. So I totally
get it. I also think it was, I don't know now if this is the last time that we see Paige on a temp job. I don't remember, like I said, if that's really this episode, but I also feel like it's a way to justify that the magic community helped them to vanquish, because Paige did this thing where she had these greater missions. Like they said, they were trying to go to her temp jobs and they couldn't get to her. So I feel like, cause she brought it up again, like, I need to go to my temp job all of a sudden. So I think it's just a way to wrap this whole thing up, that Paige had a mission this year. She helped all these people, and look, the magic community helped her back in the end.
Mm-hmm. We also see our musical guest play at P3, and we also see the Enchanted Gang hanging out at P3 as well. I love an inclusion
yes,
where anybody can come in and just be there and have a good time. So I thought that was kind of cool.
What are those nymphs drink? Come on. What does the nymph drink? What is the leprechaun? I could see like maybe an Irish, nice Irish whiskey or something. The org, maybe some ale. But the wood nymph,
probably like a mojito because of mints that are put in.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Put some earth in here. Ugh.
So Ryan sent me a video of a Q&A that was held between Holly, Brian, and Drew. And one of the questions was, if your character can give you, the person, some advice, what would your character tell you? And Drew going through a whole thing about it because he just did not understand this question one bit. But when he finally decided to answer...
I love it.
When he finally decided to answer the question, he was just like, I don't think that Chris was in a position to give advice because he was horrible at giving advice. He didn't know what the fuck he was doing. But at the same time, if he was leading by example, he would tell Drew, Chris would tell Drew, don't be whiny, because I'm a whiny human being who cannot deal with shit. I don't want you to be this way when you grow up. So he admittedly says that Chris is a whiny character. What do you think about this, like, revelation? I don't think it was done in a malicious, like, bad way.
No.
So he was just making fun of the fact that most of his season was him just being so brooding all the time. And I'm glad that he said it, because I'm sure a lot of people were thinking it. What do you think about this?
I honestly loved it. That's why I had to send it to you right away, because it addresses this season, what we're talking about, and what we have been talking about, especially me. You know, I've been hard on Chris leading up to this, prior to his lovely turnaround of mom. But, and I do think that Drew said it in a, he always jokes around about it. I think that Drew said it in a very joking manner, because like Rob said, he's not making fun of the character. He appreciates his character, but hysterical that he brought this up.
Yeah.
Because it's true. And I love how he brought it up. He did it in a Drew Fuller way.
Yeah, no, I agree. So Piper agrees to stay at magic school with Wyatt, unaware of Gideon's plans for Wyatt, while Leo decides to remain in San Francisco with the Hollowells on the grounds that he belongs with his family. Meanwhile, Chris is brooding atop the Golden Gate Bridge when Leo orbs in, begging to know what he did to make Chris hate him so much. Chris explains that while Leo was there for Piper, Wyatt, and half the world, he was never there for him. Leo suggests that Chris traveled back to save their relationship as well as Wyatt. With tears in his eyes, Chris simply says, "I doubt it," before orbing away. And that's the end of the episode. So I like that Leo is not denying what Chris is telling him, because he can easily be like, "I would never do that," and you're just over it. Like, he's trying to listen to him, and he's not in denial. You know, like, he understands that this possibly could be me. This could be me just not being there for you. And I find that to be good so far.
Yes.
But that concludes our episode of Spin City.
Love that the night on the bridge idea. I think that probably if you were able to orb and not be terrified of the heights, I would never be able to do this because of the heights. But God, that would be a beautiful sight to see, I feel like, on top of the Golden Gate Bridge with all the lights of the city. But Chris going to this, I feel like almost he wanted to run into Leo. Unless this is the only place that these elders, white lighters, and everyone who could orb goes, this is the only place they could think of.
Yeah, Leo did suggest that this is a great place to, like, clear your head. So why would you go to the place that your dad normally goes to? Like, he's such a cry for help. It's hilarious.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yes, 1,000% what you just said.
But he's cool. I love him. It's just funny. And I'm just going to go. I'm just leaving. I can't talk about it now.
Well, we needed that dramatic exit, of course. Yeah.
So this episode I thought was decent. I thought it was cool. I mean, it was definitely needed for Chris's storyline. We're heading towards the end of the season and more revelation secrets are coming out. Gideon is starting to really get into this, like, "Leo, stop coming down here, for God's sakes. Just stay up there."
You've got a pregnant Leo, for God's sakes, man.
But yeah, it was decent. I don't know. It was a little bit of a lackluster with the spider demon, to be honest, but I wish we had gotten more of that or more of her. But overall, okay episode.
I agree. It furthered the plot. We got Leo to finally know that he's got another baby out there that he's fathered. And we get the whole Chris daddy issues. But what did you feel about Piper going to stay at magic school, Rob?
I think it completely makes sense. I don't know if she and her baby are unable to feel pain while in magic school, because, you know, you can't die there. So, I mean, to me, I think it's the best place to be because there's no protective shield. They were able to fight demons and do all of that crap. But from a writer's perspective, it keeps Piper out of harm's way and doing all of these action scenes. So we'll see how this plays out next week to see if she is at magic school the whole time and if she does a lot of the heavy lifting and the activities. So it makes sense for her to stay there.
And Rob, one other note that I had written down that I completely forgot to say, it was a throwaway line, but earlier Piper said that Wyatt was with Sheila.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you just really quickly, do you think that staying at the Morrises is the best idea? Yes, Sheila knows about magic, but God forbid demons came for Wyatt. What the hell is Sheila going to do? Like, I thought that was dangerous to have.
That's really interesting. You know, hopefully there was some magic cloak around where he was, or the fact that, you know, Wyatt can take care of Sheila and not the other way around.
Force field. Yeah. Put a force field around the whole area, Wyatt.
Yeah. I would think that with everything else being distracted, like, nobody's thinking about Wyatt at this point. But that's a really good question. Sheila would not be the best person to take care of the baby, but yeah, I didn't think of it that way.
I like, though, that that was a throwaway line and that Sheila got a, she's babysitting. I like that.
Yeah. All right. It is time for that part of the show. Let's talk some men with Hot Man Mita. All right, we actually have a lot of men to talk about in this episode. Some smaller roles, but let's see if Ryan actually paid attention this time.
Oh!
We have Mr. Nosy Employee Dennis, played by Hamilton Von Watts. What do you think about Dennis here? Very caring, very, you know, like, he doesn't seem like a womanizer. He seems considerate. What do you think about this gentleman?
First off, I think that Piper has huge turnover at this club, evidently, because there's a new bartender or assistant man every week, it seems, which I guess is realistic. But yes, this man was of it was a handsome gentleman, but he was like a typical handsome dude that you see every week on Charm. So, eh, I like his concern, but he just wanted to get in Piper's pants.
I'm gonna pass on this gentleman as well. Very clonish, you know, average looking, which is sort of my type, but at the same time he looks like lots of other men.
He looks like everybody. Exactly.
Yeah. Which then brings me to Mitch. So Mitch is Kieran Hutchinson. I actually thought Mitch was very handsome.
Yeah,
I dug him quite a bit. Not enough to make my list, but I really thought he was cute. What do you think?
I agree, but evidently not for Phoebe. And she touched him. She didn't get nothing either.
Nothing. I'm leaving. I gotta go. Now, why does she do that with every dude instead of actually going out on a date?
Damn, Rob. That was... God, I still can't get over she did that. But yes, he was. But again, full hot man meter. So Mitch, Michael, Michelle... Whatever your name was, no, sorry.
All right, how about our angry transformed male nymph, our Scott Adson? Now, he was actually kind of funny. I thought he was hilarious, but what do you think about the looks? Would you put him on this hot man meter of yours?
Well, I got to give it to him for pulling off those, like, nymph green ballerina slippers that he was wearing. No, I just couldn't get past his attitude or her attitude. It's attitude.
Yeah. It's attitude. You're funny. I am not going to put this gentleman on my meter either. Let's move on to Rathmir. So this is played by Billy Beck. Now, look, we only got to see the head. He could have had body under all of that cocooning. You don't know.
It was preserved.
That wizard probably's got bank. You know, he's set for life. You know, when he passes, it goes to you. What do you think? Like,
those copyrights of those 500 spells? Does he, yeah. Is there a money for that?
He might have the means to take care of you. What do you think? Does that bring that hotness out of him? No.
I did like his very relaxed attitude, as we know, like we said earlier.
Yeah.
And as tempting as that thought of unveiling the cocooned body and finding something down there, this man stop making my list.
Okay. Yeah, he's not making mine either. Okay, so then we have David Joseph Steinberg. So this is Riley. This is our leprechaun of the episode. Aww. Tall or short, what do you think? Does he do it for you?
Just like Seamus before him, Riley was adorable.
He was adorable.
I honestly feel like he might go on my most adorable list.
Okay.
This year, but no, but he was so polite. Again, I love that he is not going to interrupt the charmed ones at their house. He's going to come to their place of work. This man is a class act. So
Paige was like, so what's wrong with
you?
I'm tall. Like, what the hell do you think is wrong with me?
I'm like, Paige, look at the proportions. There's something going on here.
So funny. All right. What about our shortish gentleman? Played by Jeff Ash. What do you think of this gentleman? He actually was kind of adorable too.
Yeah, I agree. They know what they're doing when they cast these WB shows.
I'm calling him for brunch. Like, we're going to go to brunch together. He seems like a cool guy to kick it with. He does. He seems really nice. He seems
really nice. So what about adorable, then? That sounds like if you're willing to go to brunch with somebody, Rob.
Yeah. No, I hear you. He's adorable. He could be on the adorable list. All right. Well, we have one more gentleman. He had one or two lines, thank the Lord, so they put him in the credits. He's a contestant. This is Jeremy, our bartender at P3. He was knocked out. What do you think about this strapping young man?
Yeah, I agree. Same. Very. Oh, God. That's why this hot Mamita should honestly be in a top 20, Rob.
No, that's fair.
For
that's
reasons fair. Like this, because I'm looking at the list right now, this 10 that I have, and I'm even surprised I was able to do that. So I'm sorry again. I know this sounds like I'm a broken record at this point, but no, you got to be really great to crack this top 10 for me.
No, I hear you. I hear you. So Jeremy's making my list because I thought he was hot. Yeah, no, I thought he was gorgeous. He's not going that high, unfortunately, but I think he was hot. Well, because here's the thing. I have my crushes, you know, Wyatt and Chris, adult Wyatt and Chris. I have Leo. I have Daryl. He's not hotter than Daryl.
No.
So, but he's hotter than
who's my number two?
He's hotter than the last two guys that I have. So I'm going to put him on my list as my
number. Who was the last two, by the way?
It's Derek and Brett, who I believe were.
Oh, Brett is number six.
Yeah, Piper's date, I think. So Brett is gone, putting Derek at number 10.
I feel like we haven't cracked this list in a few weeks, so this is good.
Yeah. No, Jeremy, I thought, was a very handsome guy. I thought he was cool. So too bad he wasn't in most other episodes or whatever. But yeah, I think that'll do it for Hot Man Meter. So if any of these people made your list, maybe Jodie Lynn O'Keefe is hottest female. Update your list. We have just, 4 or 5 episodes more to go. I'm going to collect your list and make one charmy Hot Man Meter of season 6. All right, Ryan. Yeah, it's time for MVP. Who do you want for MVP this week? Did you have one or wasn't there an MVP?
1000% Paige Matthews Hollowell. I don't even know. Just added that in. Paige, from the beginning, driving her sister to her appointments. Again, I'm very impressed. I'm very glad that Paige has stepped up, calling her temp jobs, helping the magical community, fighting spider demons, going to P3 to cover for Piper. What didn't she do in this episode? Paige Matthews, thank you for your service. This week
she definitely did do a lot in this episode. I am actually giving MVP to the ogre.
Good for him. Yes, poor man, with his every time they got to make fun of his breath.
I know. No, he actually came through, and I just loved his involvement with the villain of the week, which also gets play of the week for me, as he was banging on that door like some obnoxious neighbor. Come out.
You want me to do it again?
I know. He was ready. He was like, I'm part of the charm ones now. I'm ready. Put me to work. I'm ready to do this for you.
That was his fantasy. Yes.
He was so cool. You know, kicked it at the bar. I just loved it. So no, he's getting MVP and play of the week for me. I just thought he was awesome.
I'm so happy he got that. Thank you for doing that.
Next week on Charmed, crimes and witch demeanors. Right on the nose. We know this one. Okay, I remember this episode being really weird, just weird. But we'll see if this next watch gives me
there's
a little bit more justice.
Heads involved, floating heads.
Ugh. Yeah, this one's a little weird, but maybe with the added guest that we're going to have on next week. Yeah. We'll make this episode a lot more enjoyable. We have another patron joining the show. This will be her first appearance on the show, so we're going to get to know her a little bit, and she'll join us on next week, next week's episode. So make sure to tune in, and we are almost there, folks. We're almost at the end. June is going to be all charmed leading up to the finale that's happening on Independence Day.
Oh my God.
The timing of it all. Yes. So join us next week for another episode. Ryan, thank you again for helping me with today's episode. Everyone, enjoy your Sunday brunch or whenever you are listening to this episode. Goodbye, Charmies.
Bye, Charmies. I forgot we didn't do play of the week.
Oh, you didn't do one. I did play of the week. It was when he was banging on the door. But did you have
one? I thought that was your why he was MVP.
If you had a play, you can say.
Oh, that. No, I didn't. Okay. Even better. Perfect, okay. Perfect.
Okay.
On the WB, since the beginning of their charmed lives, they've used their powers for good. But it's the not so good.
You have until midnight.
That's up for debate.
Easy, boys.
There's plenty to go around.
This doesn't look good.
Charmed on Trial, a fresh episode